three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the NBL Pocket Pod, 25th of September, we're recording this. Joseph Corr here. I've got Andrew Canyon, he's back.
Canyon. Hello Joseph, this is AIAC, but the real version.
He's back.
I'm back, croaky voice and all. That's how you know it's not AI.
Yeah, and he's bought his big, thick hard drive for all of us. NBL Pocket Pod, I just want to get this up the top. Canyon's got a unique setup today where he's kind of holding his microphone, so if you hear some bumps in the night, you know why, and apologies from the beginning. Three major topics we're looking at. Well, what? 3.5 major topics. Hoops Fest, was this a hoop or a harm? Was it good or bad? Early import impressions, over-under predictions, and then the new look media front. A lot of media changing at the fucking NBL level this season. A lot of newcomers to the fray, which we enjoy. We were just saying before the show how when we started this, I don't think there was a consistent NBL publishing pod, and now there's like 10. It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the NBL's got like 24 podcasts that they need to fill with talent. So, Jesus, talk about crowding the channel. Thanks, yeah. Guys.
Appreciate it. You're doing well. But they're all great content. Let's do this. Before we jump into anything, a reminder to people, become a patron, support the show if you like it. We'd appreciate that. We'd love your money. And we'd probably spend it better and in more funny, useless ways than you could. So why not? Canyon, Hoops
Fest. Before we get in, it's pretty good to be back, right? Like,
yes.
You had the you talked about last week or the week before, whenever I wasn't there. But you were talking about, do we keep doing it?
I want to pose that to you. How excited are you for, A, the season and basketball itself at the NBL level, and the pod, A and B, separate?
Okay, so before the season started, like around the blitz time, I was like a 3 out of 10 for the excitement level. I was just struggling to get motivated. I didn't really care. Couldn't really buy into it. And then blitz was like nothing. Didn't even watch it. And then it got to round one, and I was just suddenly like, this is all right. I'm back into it. And my excitement level probably went to about a 7 out of 10.
If you hadn't had Hoop Fest in your backyard, do you think you'd have the same response?
Yep. No, I'd probably, because you'd have to get it on TV. So it'd probably I'd probably get a bit excited. It'd probably be a 5 or a 6 at this point.
Yeah, there you go.
But then doing this podcast, we're like, what are we doing here? There's so many podcasts now that what purpose are we serving? But then I was like, we have to be serving a purpose where we're not cheerleading the league.
Yeah, always.
It seems like all the podcasts are all just rah, 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 like selling the candy. And maybe we can do something a bit different.
I think so. I hope so. And, you know, with this podcast feed, being honest with everyone, I think it's got about 350 to 500 subs, probably more than 400, 350, 400. But then each episode gets up to around about 500 somehow. Some get up to 1,000 if given long enough, but not often. I'm not going to toot the horn of the pod. It's not that good. But, you know, that's kind of the limit, I think, with the NBL at a pod of this level, unless you've got, you know, big backing. But yeah, like you say, what can we add? I mean, we don't go to games in person all the time. We don't have a media pass. We had those. They didn't really provide much value for content, really. They were just a grim specter hanging over your head. It's like, oh, geez, I've got to be careful.
Yeah, I felt guilty about it. It was like, oh.
Jumped at a few presses. That was fun for a time. Remember when we were in press conferences? Oh, fuck.
Yeah, you got kicked out for the Gatorade comment, didn't you?
Oh, the Gatorade. Oh, man, it could have been anything. Honestly, that's one thing when people are like, oh, you know, they criticize sports media and stuff. Your whole livelihood can get taken away and you really don't know what you've said wrong and wrong day, you've offended a social media manager or even just a manager itself. It is a nerve-wracking profession, so I have great sympathy for everyone in it. Man, Hoops Fest, because you were there. I want to talk to you about this. Thumbs up or thumbs down from you?
Thumbs up. So
okay, why?
When I say I was there, so I wasn't sure I was going to be there because of the sickness, you can probably hear in my voice. So I only got along to two of the games, the doubleheader at Challenge Stadium, HPF Stadium, whatever the hell they call it now.
That's right.
I watched all the others, well, from TV. So I didn't, and I didn't do any of the activations because I realized that I'm too old for that shit. Like, I don't give a damn about the activities in that land. Yeah, I don't care about Sneakerland. I don't care about, like, kids 3-on-3. Like, that's bless a them, different generation. Like,
that's good luck to them and enjoy it, but, yeah, that's not.
Oh, look, yeah, yeah. And by all accounts, it was successful, but that's not.
Did Carmelo Anthony wet your beak? Did that get anything stirring inside you other than the phlegm at the bottom of your diaphragm?
I'm so cynical now. I just look at it and I go, everybody's doing everything for cash. He's turned up because he's been paid an appearance fee. He'll wear the NBL jacket because that's part of the contractual obligations. He'll say all the right things. Even he couldn't hide it. One of his piece to cameras one night, really? He's like, yeah, I'm doing a few activations, and once I get them out of the way, I'll go around and see what the city's got to offer. I'm like, mate, come on. Fake it. Pretend like you're here because you care.
Or don't, I don't know what I prefer. I mean, or just don't take the money. How about this, pal? You made nearly $1 billion playing basketball. I got an idea. Pay for your own ticket to Perth and poke around the beaches. How about that? How about you live a life, pal? I did think it was scammy. And then also the amount for these camps. There was one camp for under 12s and under 15s or something. $400 for 2 hours, up to $1,000 if Carmelo Anthony signs your tits or something. And I just thought, jeepers creepers, man. Like, how much money does a man need? Now, it's not going directly to Carmelo Anthony. It's going to whatever agency paid whatever they had to get him over here. And then they're just making up the sum. I get that. But still, I'm like, oh, geez, you know, $110 for seated to hear him talk at Metro's nightclub. Like, that to me left a real sour taste in my mouth. So
it's hard not to be cynical, but nevertheless, they lent into it. They paid the money and they got they tried to get value from it. And I think they probably did. Overall, though, I thought it was pretty good. I think it was interesting. I liked the HBF / Challenge Stadium
experience. It had a facelift, right?
Oh man, it's so much better than it used to be.
Was it just the facelift for this Hoops Fest, or had that stadium got a bit of a look at paint?
They've done some renovations already. They did put a new court in. I don't know if the court was for the purpose of Hoops Fest, but it was new. And it looks schmick, man. It's like a really nice.
I didn't recognize stadium. It. When I saw this new name, I was like, is that Challenge? And I was like, it doesn't look like Challenge. But it was.
They've even renovated the toilets, mate. It's
impressive. Whoa. Wow, I lost my cherry in those. No, I'm kidding. Sorry. But what about the car park and the facilities like that? Because I remember Challenge used to walk through the bush to get there.
Yeah. So I went with Nick Tan.
Shout out Nick Tan.
And he was driving because I was a bit too sick. He drove, and we were expecting. We got there a bit early, having memories of the parking. Straight in, mate. We got bloody prime position, and we didn't even have to pay. It's like, what the hell? This is like a new world.
Holy moly.
And then we wander in.
I wouldn't be surprised if you did have to pay for parking. There'd be Carmelo Anthony would be in the toll booth. Like, that's $350.
So let me give you a little kind of like, you know, experience of Hoops Fest for those who weren't there. I lashed out and I got courtside seats for this one.
So which games did you go to? The two sort of Cairns, Illawarra?
Cairns and New Zealand. Brisbane.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's right.
What was the other? Illawarra.
Yeah. Cairns, Illawarra, and Brisbane and whoever.
Yeah.
Brisbane, New Zealand.
So it was like, but it was you know, like, so you're sitting courtside right at the front, on the centre line. Bloody great seats.
Yeah, amazing.
But before we got there, we ran into Felix von Hoff in the corridor.
Yeah, we love Felix.
He remembered who I was. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
So that was impressive. And then he lost. We went and got some chips from the cafe thing.
Nice.
And bloody found under our table the Felix von Hoff media pass.
Wow.
He's got to look after that better. So we were able to get it back to him. Bloody Felix. And he's the photo on his media pass. I don't know if I should be saying this, but it's a classic. Somebody stitched him up big time.
Oh, what? A nudity? Or?
It's like him, I think, from an NBL awards night.
Oh.
It looked like he'd probably had a couple of drinks.
Okay. All right. I see the hoodwink there. The crowd numbers. I mean, I look at the games. Well, I've only got data from the one game you went to, Cairns Illawarra. It was about 3K, just a little bit over. Was it empty? Did it look empty? Did it feel empty? And if so, looking at those numbers, is that a bad reflection on Hoopsfest's success?
No, I thought it was pretty good because the only empty spots were kind of the corners, which are kind of shitty seats. They're shitty seats. So I think...
And Challenge is not big. Like, Challenge capacity would be like 5, 6.
Yeah. I think back in the day, they used to advertise it as 5-2 with standing.
If kids stacked on each other's shoulders, like they're trying to sneak into a club or something. Yeah, sure.
But it was great. It's a really good venue. I think it's a venue they should look at as a... if they're ever going to have a second NBL team here.
Wow.
That team back in that stadium. There's a lot of goodwill for that stadium.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, that's good. And then
I said hello to Freddie Gillespie, New Zealand Breakers, gave him my congratulations for his hit on Sean Brucey.
He took that in good spirit. Like he was.
He did. We had a good laugh, you know.
Did he know?
He understood that he'd done the wrong thing and he was taking his punishment, but I suggested that, you know, these things happen.
Was he kind of aware before or after that, oh, that's like the league, I wouldn't say menace, but the league irritant? He was well aware of what he had done?
I think he knew after the fact. I don't think he knew beforehand. I think he got the briefing afterwards. And then while in game, being courtside, like a bit of banter with Michael Aylin, the referee.
Oh, yeah. In what way?
And we're telling him he got a call wrong. He missed an obvious call.
Okay.
And he was like, come on, guys, my eyes aren't the best anymore. And he's given us the goggles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the googly eyes, the flip with the...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that was fun. And Mitch McCarron as well with a bit of chat from the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
In good spirits.
He would be in high spirits having gotten out of Adelaide. That's good.
Well, that's exactly what I said to him.
His reply?
I said, Mitch, just thank God you're not still in Adelaide. And he said, oh, we don't talk about that.
That's between you and him. Before we leave off Hoopsfest, you're saying thumbs up. I looked at some of the crowd numbers and thought, oh, a bit down. But I just looked at Perth showed up. So two thumbs to Perth. Wildcats are probably a bit upset because maybe it made more of a case for a second team there and kind of dilute that pool. But nonetheless, can I ask you this question? And you've got a probably better handle on this. Tourism money and kind of the value to business nearby. Did you feel it palpably? Like, oh, wow, people have come to the city for this? Do you think? Because I'm looking at the event and I just think, you know, it's one thing to sell the tickets and whatever else. That's nice. But did you feel like Perth and this is a festival, people have traveled for it? Would a business that's not necessarily attached to basketball, like cafes nearby or even just the art gallery, did it feel like they got a cash injection because of it?
Hard to say because I was sick. So I was kind of like out of the action for until that game day. Look, the only indication I can give you is that a day or two after I was out at Fremantle, would have been Sunday, I was in Fremantle, and I saw a guy wearing a Sydney Kings jersey.
Wow.
And...
I didn't even see that here in Sydney.
It was at a furries convention, so draw your own conclusion.
So he was in... so he had full... Oh,
so there's a whole bunch of furries, people who dress as animals.
Do you think it was just he chose that outfit because of the colour scheme, or do you think he was a legit fan? Was he dressed like a furry pig, or like what? I'm just trying to think of an animal that would.
No, he was just hanging out with all the furries in a Sydney Kings jersey, and I thought it was pretty funny.
And that's ironic that a furry would go for the Kings when their owner is completely bald, without any hair or have all fur. Sorry, Paul Smith. I don't think he's a patron. Said, so anyone who's not a patron, we're going to slag off.
I said, Chris Pongras, get out of here.
Oh, yeah. He does have a head of hair. He's a furry in real life.
He does. I saw him at the Blitz. He was sitting just behind me. So he was there chatting with Liam Santa Maria. With our man Ogun Ulich as well. So it was like a good chance to say good day to a lot of people.
You're like the queen bee canyon over there. Everyone's...
I was working the room, my friend.
Let's move on to the second topic, which is kind of related to all the celebs you've been rubbing shoulders with. The imports. This is kind of a bit of an NBL Pocket Pod staple where we kind of pull the pin on imports early. Yeah. You got questions here. You read them. Do it.
Yeah, sure. So, first of all, question for you, Joe. Montrez, isn't it?
That's how Montrez, it. Yep.
Or was it Montrell?
Montrez Harrell?
I always forget which one's silent.
You've got Harris here in the rundown. Montrez Harrell, yeah.
You know the guy.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Will he see out the season?
I say no. Not based on anything performance-wise, but they've invested a lot of money in Humphreys, and they seem to cannibalize each other for minutes and presence on the court. So I would say for that reason. And Jarrell Martin, it's not like they're bringing in some chump. I feel like, they've got too much investment in the front court before him. What do you think?
I would like them to keep. I would love for them.
Oh, man, he's crazy. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
And they've got the import slot. So, they can actually bring Jarrell back in.
Oh, good point.
Keep him going. And then they've got the three imports. They've got to muck around with their marquee players and stuff. But the way Humphrey's paid on the weekend, he doesn't deserve any kind of
marquee. Well, we're going to talk about that some more. Yeah, we're going to talk about that some more.
They need to do their best to keep him. But if he keeps playing this way, he's going to be back in the NBA in no time.
The other thing you got to remember is this is the 36ers. Now, they're not prone to making rash financial decisions. Normally, they like to keep the money in their pocket. Yeah. Very sturdy ball club. Real straight, bad organization. Worst import performance. You've got it written here. Take me through it.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, did any imports jump out to you as being particularly terrible?
Not other than the two you've mentioned.
Yeah, okay. So I'll talk you through them. I'll say, looking through them, so my second worst, I'm going to lead in with that, was Kendrick, speaking of Adelaide, Kendrick Davis from Adelaide.
Yeah, the point guard.
So his first half of that game was an absolute diabolical performance. It reminded me of the time when, I can't remember the player, but it was against the Wildcats. I think it was a Sydney Kings player a few years ago. And Damian Martin, just stripped him of all self-confidence.
Wow.
Couldn't get the ball out of half court. This was kind of like one of those kind of performances.
Wow.
So he was terrible. He improved in the second half. So he finished with 11 points on 4 of 13, hunting his own shot a lot. 4 rebounds, 8 assists, which sounds good, but it feels like a bit of false, how would you say it?
Fool's gold.
Fake carbs or fool's gold.
Empty carbs, fool's gold.
Empty carbs, that's what I'm trying to think. Empty carbs. 8 assists, 4 turnovers and 2 steals.
In a loss.
Yeah, that's a flattering stat line. He was pretty bad. But worst import performance, the first guy getting ready to jump back on that plane to go back to the US of A, James Bateman at Brisbane.
Yeah.
He was terrible.
Yeah, I've
3
heard that.
Points, 1 of 5, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 turnovers, 2 steals, couple of stats reflecting better than his actual performance. But the eye test, he failed miserably. He was disgusting.
Hey, harsh words, but pretty fair. Can I say this, though? Do you think either of those perform? Who was the worst performer, import or no? And I really say, is Humphreys in that conversation? Is Sobey in that conversation? Sobey had stuff where, I don't know if we want to talk about it now. Let's do it now. Do you want to do the Nathan Sobey referendum now?
Sure, let's do it.
We're enrolled voters. Are you thumbs up or thumbs down on Nathan Sobey this season? Oh,
thumbs down.
Thumbs down. And you just think we've seen his best. We're only going to see his, maybe not his worst, but not his best. And that's that. And what the performance about his I wanted to make was, had a bad outing, didn't shoot well, whatever. And those nights happen, didn't really do much for anyone else. And then commits the bad tech. In the dying moments or in the sort of crunch of it and totally screws over everyone else. So I thought, if you're petitioning against what Shula, his former coach at Brisbane had said, this was not the performance to do that. In fact, you played into his hands. Like you made those comments, which seemed really harsh and outrageous at the time. Well, not outrageous, but harsh. It's like, so what do you think?
Yeah, look, Sobey, everybody knows what he is at this point. He's not changing, is he? This would have been the one chance for him to come out and go, look, new me, new uniform. I've taken on board all the criticism and I'm going to be a changed person. He just doesn't have it in him. He just does not.
Nor would you really want...
He is what he is.
He is what he is.
James Harden.
Yeah.
NBL.
Yeah, and it's like you bring in that guy, you know what's happening, and they actually put up a pretty good performance. I mean, they didn't win, but it was fun, I guess. Not so much him at the helm. Let's jump into this topic too, over-unders. These are via Top Sports, so they give the predictions on win totals, and you've got to predict whether a team's going to win over that amount or under it. Let's start with South East Melbourne. We'll go out of alphabetical order just because we've talked about Sobey.
Okay.
I can't believe the bookmakers have them at 13 and a half games, which, if I'm not mistaken, there's 29 games this season instead of the usual 28. Is that right?
Correct. Yep, because it got the hoop fest round.
Yeah. So that's still a losing record, right? Just.
Yep.
But I just don't see it at all. I've gone under with a lock, and for those reasons we just spoke about with Sobey, where they lose Creek. Sobey's the Creek replacement. Derek Walton Jr., really good player, but I just don't see it on the roster, and I mentioned it on last week's pod, but I'm really actually excited to hear what you think of this team.
Well, I put it bluntly, I went under on the 13 games, 13 and a half games, and I've just said, like, this team's crap. I don't think anything about it.
I didn't know you read. I was on my laptop here and I just slid down the mouse and then I was just like, oh, this team is crap. With a full stop, which is crap.
Full stop. It's very.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's a profound statement. I just don't see what's good about this team. You got Nathan Sobey who might give you 25, but he may not. You got Walton Jr. is a good point guard, but who's he got around him?
Exactly,
I just
right?
don't. They got absolutely lit up by the Wildcats.
Lit and up by also Bryce Cotton. Like, what was your strategy? What did you think? And if I'm not mistaken, last year I remember Mike Kelly letting a lot of guys. Like when guys went to Southeast Melbourne, they put up points. I think Southeast Melbourne gave up, you know, most of the career highs or season highs for players. So I'm like, well, that defensive strategy hasn't changed. So
I just don't see any. There's nothing about this team at Southeast that excites me. No. I just think they're in for a long season. They might be fun to watch because there'll be some big scoring games.
Yeah.
But it's against them. They're turnstiles.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go to the top of the list and let's do this Adelaide-wise. Adelaide, the bookies, Top Sport have them 12.5, which is pretty low. I mean, this team won, I think, about that measure last year, and they kind of maybe defensively had a better record, a better roster, sorry. Where have you gone, over or under?
I've gone over because I think their offense will win them some games.
Really?
I think, yeah, DJ will get them over a few times. If they keep Harrell for any reasonable length of time, he'll win them some games. So I think 12 is well and truly within reach.
I went under. I wrote here, Humphreys. I put Humphreys stinks. I'll be honest what I wrote, but I don't. That's a bit harsh, but I just don't. Top heavy roster, you know, punking out against injuries and getting flirty with signings. And I like Vasiljevic very much, but I mean, they were bad last year, and Kel had such a good year for him, and he's gone, and he was a bit of a two-way player and did a bit of everything. I don't see it at all.
Even after they took Sydney, they showed some good.
No, I thought Harrell was a surprise packet where he'd barely been in the country 2 or 3 days before that game. Sydney had no way to scout him, and now they do. And they lost. He was fun and he was interesting, but they lost. And I could see where he was a factor, but he just made players redundant. I don't know. I've gone under.
Yeah.
Not with a lock, but
yeah, that's fair.
Pretty
enough.
Close. Brisbane. Bookies have them at 11.5. Feels low to me, but I don't want to speak for you. You over or under?
Nah, I'm under.
Really? You've seen a bad game?
We got bad imports. We got the same old issues. This is
but
the
no
Sobey. We see every year. Yeah, I know. But now they got other imports like Chris Smith last year. Now
he was okay, man.
Now they got Bateman. It's just like average import after average import. They are betting the farm. I do not understand watching this game. I don't know why they persist with Casey Prather. Like, they invested a lot in Casey Prather. Last season, they brought him back this season. I don't see it, man.
I'll ask this
don't
question.
Don't see it.
Kalamunda Suns in the NBL 1 West signed Tarico White the other day. Who would you... Seriously, who would you rather have on your Brisbane Bullets roster? Casey Prather? Tarico White?
At least Tarico hit a jump shot.
Exactly, right? And big body, strong body, seemingly a healthy one. Yeah,
that's right.
I have them over because they're going to play defense. But, gee, I mean, that's a low number, Canyon. That's a low number.
I know, but...
Like, you think Adelaide's like really going to take advantage of them? Like, teams like that, and Southeast Melbourne's not going to drop games, and Melbourne when they travel up there and are tired and old. I've got them over.
Okay.
Well, we'll see. Moving on. Cairns, 10.5. Tough team to call, eh? They played so badly. You were at that game, right? They got beat by 30 or something.
No, it was a flogging.
10.5. 10.5, you're going up or over? Under or over?
I'm going under. Mm. Under. Not enough talent. He's got no talent.
I at the start of the year, I kind of liked... I like Ford. I think we both do. I don't want to speak for you, but... He'll get them playing defence, but yeah.
Horses.
But they didn't have Taron Armstrong. Is he hurt or did he play? No.
No, he didn't play. He's injured.
Is he hurt? He's injured.
Yeah, yeah.
So another year where he comes in hurt. Like, he's had a bad run of luck for a young player. But yeah, I with him on the thing, I liked him better on the roster because I just really like the way he played it. I want to say Summer League. And then he doesn't play. And yep. For that reason, I do have them as an under, but I'm not actually that confident about it. I've got under with a question mark. Moving on. Okay. Illawarra, 12.5.
That's a low number, hey?
That's a really low number. For a team that, what, won... how many did they win last year? 15?
16, 15.
Yeah, that's sort of like mid-teens, yeah. What do you think?
Seems
over
low.
Under?
It seems low, anyway. I've gone over... I think Days is a stud.
I'm really? Clark stud? Because that was my thing in the preseason. I was like, you can't replace Clark, and I don't think Days is the guy. You think they have? Okay.
I think, you know, him plus a bit of talent growth from Albrecht and stuff, they're fine. So top three team.
Albrecht really came on a long way. I've gone over as well, only because for what you've said, and also that's a low number. Like, I just... I like them better than... That's the same number as Adelaide. Like, come on. Illawarra going to win more games. What are they thinking? Moving on. That one's obvious, I think. Would you put a lock on that?
Yep.
Okay. I haven't put a lock on it, but gee, I could be talked into that. Melbourne United, 17.5 wins, which is about their number from last year, but they have a very different roster. Did you go over or under?
It's a hard one. I went over... mainly because of their additional home court advantage. The fact they get to play Southeast Melbourne Phoenix three times on that court.
Good. I didn't factor that in. That's true.
So I'm going over on that one.
I've put under, but now that you say that, that has to be an over. Three. That's a sixth against Southeast Melbourne. That's a sixth of those wins already just against them. Ooh. Yeah. And just the way they're allowed to play a level of defense... and we talk about this. Shea Ely's just diving into everyone's legs. Someone is going to snap their leg in half at courtesy of that guy. And he's a great player and he's a good defender. But people who know the game just that slightest well enough to this point, you can tell what he's up to. And it's like, knock it off, man. Come on.
Yeah.
But in answer to the question, I've got under on this sheet. But now that you mentioned Southeast Melbourne, I've changed it. It's over. Are you lock on that or you're still a bit of...
No, it's not a lock because... it's a high number relative to all the other numbers they've given
us. And the outs they've got. You know, we're not huge Travers fans, but we can see his good value and JLA.
I like Jack White's a good, he's better than Travers.
A lot of people sold him out a super coach. He is better than Travers. I can't deny that. He's way bigger body. Tougher player too, like slam dunks and shit. Yeah, good call. New Zealand, 12.5, over under.
I've gone over.
I've gone under. Why have you gone over?
I like Mooney. If they keep him for the whole season, he'll be good. I like their coach. And I think Menenga's going to be a real weapon this season.
Okay. I mean, it's a low number too. 12.5.
Yep.
I've gone under.
US trip's going to screw them over.
I did. I put them under for that reason. That's a really bad US travel schedule. They're playing like three games mid-season and all this shit. I just went, I don't like it. And I'm not huge about the roster. I don't like the balance of the roster. Parker Jackson Cartwright, really good player, but chases his own shot. I see a lot of standing around. And then the loss of Abercrombie. I spoke about this in the last episode, people. You can go back and listen to it. But I've got him under. Perth, 15.5. I mean, fuck, I'm going to answer straight up. This is an over and a lock.
Totally.
Fuck, that's a low. 15.5, less than Melbourne. Behave.
Give me a break.
Hey, put a second lock on it. Put a third.
This team's loaded up. They got scorers everywhere. They're deep. They're young. This is probably the best Perth team that has been around for probably...
the post-Bendat era, I'd say.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't think we need to belabor that point. We're both going over and we're both putting a lock on it. Southeast Melbourne, we've done. Yeah. Sydney, 18.5. So that's the biggest number of the lot, which is pretty fair. But does it feel too high for you? What have you done?
No, I've gone over.
Same.
Just because of their depth. But the caveat is if Gorgian can keep everybody happy. There's a lot of mouths to feed on this team.
So did you go to this game? No.
I watched it on TV, though. It was a good
bit of pouting from Cam Oliver on the exercise bike?
Yeah, yeah.
Off to himself? Yeah.
A good pickup.
I'm not going to pretend that was my pickup. That was Nick Tan. Hope he's comfortable. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. Ooh, you don't know. But it was someone, and his name rhymes with Dick Tan.
But even still, he came on court and he was blitzing threes. And
you know. Yeah, no, he's a good player. He's a good player. But ballsy by Gorgian to sit him.
I know, but, you know, like, you can argue with
Brian Green,
with Mr. Gunshow.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly. So we're both going 18-05. I mean, the other thing is they're up against Illawarra. Tough team to play often. I think they play them 3-4 times this year or whatever, so that's a bit of a drag for them. But 18.5, I think they're going to be up there with Perth, and therefore I think they're going to be around that high teen. So I'm with you. Tasmania, this was a tough one. 15.5, decimated by injury. We're going to talk about the interview with Joe Healy and Scott Roth in a second, but 15.5, did you go over or under?
I went under.
I went over, but gee.
I don't like the team.
What don't you like about it?
They just haven't. I mean, they haven't replaced Jack McVay.
No, haven't even come close to. Yeah.
Now, my memory is not failing me right there. Starting Ruben Tarangi, right?
Oh, yeah, I think you are. Your memory, your lung capacity has failed you in recent days and weeks, but not your recollection. That's true.
Yeah, any team that has that guy. Just on the team, on the squad, but is in trouble. But to have him starting, I think his first shot was an air ball. Oh, yeah, it's like, come on, man.
Starting.
Got to be better player.
He can soak up 10, 15 minutes, sure. But starting, that's an odd choice from Roth. But did he have the bodies to do something different? I don't know. I've gone over, but
shopping in NBL 1 and find somebody better than Ruben Tarangi.
I might change that to an under. That one's for me right on the pin. I got a lot of faith in Roth, though, and a lot of faith in Crawford and Magne. Oh, Magne gets hurt. Didn't Magne go down grabbing something?
Yeah, and Crawford was ordinary. He didn't do anything.
He can be up and down. This is true. But Doyle, man, come on, Milt Doyle.
Yeah, just one guy. So all you got to do if you're defending, just stop Doyle. And you're fine. Send a double.
There is there is so much less shooting help around him this year without Jack McVay, isn't there?
Yeah.
Do you think Jack McVay will stick it over there in the NBA, though?
No.
Yeah. Cool. Well, then he comes back, right? Problem solved.
Well, maybe. Or he hangs around on that sort of, you know, the G.
Yeah, just
merry-go-round.
Just goes, you know what, I'm here. I may as well just see out the year. And, you know, Tasmania will always be there. Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
I've put over on my sheet, but that's one where, because I changed Melbourne to an under, from an under to an over, I might do the opposite with Taz and keep some balance. Everyone, keep stock of those. Play at home. I'll put them up on Twitter. That's at NBL Pocket Pod, and you can play it for yourself. Let's talk about the media front. We're at 33 minutes. Let's try and get out of here in the next 10. I've just got the notes here. Will the basketball show be back? Missed the first round. Remember the basketball show?
No. Nah.
What is it? Bad sign. It was the one done, Shane Heal and others, and they were like, it was kind of like a hostage video where they're like, the basketball was very good. It's all zoomed down the lens on HP cameras and stuff, you know?
I think Shane Heal's with all his, he's probably still searching for his pay slips.
Yeah, I don't think that one's coming back. Overtime. Cam Luke, no more. Kind of sad.
Yeah, he was good on that variety.
So
kind of
really
show,
personal.
Panel show. He was terrible as a commentator.
Motivated. Not his strength. I don't think he'd say that.
On a panel, he was good value. Yeah. So that's a bit of a loss.
And been around for a while.
You get more Leonard Copeland. The way my voice is at the moment, I probably sound like Leonard Copeland. But I just don't like him as a TV talent.
Copeland.
Yeah.
I agree. I just you can tell he's searching for what he's going to say next. He's thinking about it because he's hasn't watched the game, just kind of just floating around. But that's the gaze effect, right? He's feathered his nest in the right way, and I don't dislike him. But you know, he's there. He's just part of the furniture of Australian basketball, and that's fine. I get it. But yeah, I'm not so keen. But yeah, Cam Luke, it's just it's is what it is. But been around for a while.
Blown up, right? They're no longer, homicide, obviously. No longer with us. Liam Santa Maria off to greener pastures.
Yeah. So. You could see the writing on the wall. And, and the other thing as well, Felix von Hoff, pretty capable replacement. Peter Hawley, really growing and stuff. So it's just one of those things, just the way it goes. The Joe Healy, Scott Roth thing, we'll talk about this quickly.
When are we going to get our call up, by the way, Joe? When is our TV show coming? I continue to wait by the phone.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
Isn't it? That's all it is.
It's no other reason than that. But would you really want to? I don't know. Yeah, I probably would. Who am I kidding?
How much do they pay?
Yeah, that's right. Could they afford us? The Joe Healy, Scott Roth interview. I want to make 2 points and get your thoughts on it. Number one is the conversation about it afterwards, where it was always like, respected journalist Joe Healy, it really seeped over the sides. And I'm like, listen, we get it. Like, sometimes you have to make that point. But I just thought, we know she's respected. It needs to be the name. I felt like it was, I don't want to say pandering, but it was just like really making a point. I was like, Joe Healy, people in basketball know that name. And if you don't, you'll soon learn it. There's no need to kind of throw that over the top. That was one thing. And then it's like, oh, whoa, so Scott Roth could have behaved like this if it was someone who wasn't respected? Unrespected journalist, .. It's like, what? It's sort of an oxymoron. Then the other thing I want to say, I will say to Joe Healy, was you could see Roth, he was pissed off. Did you see it live or the replay?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see it. I watched it after hearing about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I got put up on Twitter or whatever. The one thing that needed to happen was after that first question, when he was real prickly, just an inquisitive, and I don't criticize Joe Healy. She probably had the four questions she wanted to ask or had to ask. I don't know how the broadcast works, but there needed to be that question of like, Scott, you seem perturbed. You seem prickly. What is something the matter? Is it something I've done? Is it something, what's going on? And then he would have probably launched into a tirade about the schedule and slammed the air for NBL and so on and so forth. So that was,
So what you're saying as a journalist, you need to have the confidence and wherewithal to go off script.
I think so. It may be. Yeah. But again, I don't know how the broadcast works. Maybe it's like, nope, it needs to be timed and do this. But did you think it was poor form from Scott Roth? Do you think it was over the top?
Like, it's poor form in the sense that you're just being impolite. And that's poor form in kind of those situations just generally as a human.
Yeah, exactly. But
it's like, it wasn't the end of the world. He just made it a difficult interview.
He was curt. Did you think he was disrespectful? I didn't think he was disrespectful. I thought he was curt. I thought he was
dismissive.
Unfriendly, no doubt about it. But disrespectful? Yeah. I didn't get the disrespect. Questions were asked and answered, I don't know.
I mean, we always ask for a bit more controversy in these press conferences, right? They're always usually so boring.
Oh, they're shamefully boring.
It's kind of like, well, you get this. It made it interesting. So, what is the purpose of a press conference to get media attention?
And it did.
He did it.
So, kudos to Scott Roth. Kudos to Joe Healy. Tick of the box. that brings us to the end of our topics as scripted. Do you want to go off script? Or do we have any last chance tidy ups? Any thoughts, questions, queries, concerns? I'm going to quickly check Twitter because we did put out a sounding board for statements, but I don't think it was very late in the piece. Oh, we've got one from Nick Tan. Here we go. So we're taking it to the tweets.
Jeez, Tweets.
Great scene. Might be a bit late, but the so-called crackdown on the off-ball holding is not happening. I expect to see Qual and the Kings hold Bryce on Friday and never let him go! That's from Nick Tan 77. Sport blokes have got a statement here. Did Rocco get enough minutes? I was basically courtside, and every time he was on, it felt like something would happen, but he only got 7 minutes in a 4-point loss. That was from Nathan.
Yeah, that's from
Sportbooks. By the way, great pod, everyone. Subscribe to that immediately. Stop this shite and listen to that.
Yeah, they actually do their research.
I remember meeting them at Stu, and they had this stat about like, oh, unbelievable. I can't remember what it was. When such and such a player scores this many points, they win. That's an actual really good pod. But yeah, this is just conversational. I'm sorry, I interrupted. He's right.
I think the reason why Rocco didn't get enough time is because they were banking on Tyrell Harrison actually doing something.
Yeah, he struggled.
He's so good in the blitz. They really lent into him, and he delivered the Humphreys level performance.
Just a turnover. Once he put it on the deck, it was over. Once a double team even got a sniff of him, he was just threw it away. That's what I felt. Whenever they kind of wanted to pressure me.
What is this? This league is not friendly to centres at the moment.
Oh.
So you had the two premier centres in Humphreys and Harrison having shockers.
They had under 10 points and rebounds combined or something almost.
You just don't want a guy over 6'8" on the court.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was taking it to the tweets. Any tidy ups, last chance, things to talk about, Canyon? Are you done?
I want to encourage people to get on the Discord.
We've got
the NBL Pocket Podcast Discord. Has a whole bunch of different channels. You could talk about your particular team. You could talk about the league in general. We could talk about women's basketball. You could talk about NBL.
Cool Discord. It's got so many lounges and leagues and channels. You really can do whatever you want on there. So yeah,
it's the unsung hero of this podcast.
I am not a huge contributor to it. It has a whole orbit, and I'm shit. It has a whole orbit and life of itself. Every day again, basically, it's like a teenager's room. There's all making out lava lamps. Occasionally, I'll pop in like, hey, what's going on? How are you doing? And everyone's like, we're happy without you. Get out of here, mum and dad. So it's very good. So yeah, Discord. Become a patron of the show. Spoke about at the top of the program. Follow predominantly me on X at NBL Pocket Pod.
I still can't do X, man.
That's fine. It's fine. Twitter.
You can get to me on Mastodon.
Yeah,
my
sure can.
My Mastodon address is andrew@social.lol. LOL. Yeah.
Would you say you get a lot of traffic on the old... Yeah, would you say you get a lot of traffic on the old Mastodon? Andrew@social.lol.
It trends nerdy. I'm not going to lie. It trends nerdy and it trends American. I'm open to it, though. Like maybe Blue Sky. Maybe we can get something happening on Blue Sky. I don't really care. I just need to find another channel for basketball.
Threads? Remember that? Is that still a thing?
Threads is still a thing, yeah.
It's not your jam, either. Nah, man. Keep tooting the Mastodon horn. Pardon the pun. Thanks very much, everyone. Really fun to do this, and we'll see you probably not next week, but the week after.
Yeah, we're back, baby.